How unusual, Dave Chappelle involved in a controversy. Dean?
What's really unusual is his response to this whole thing, or what a spokesperson responded. Here's what happened last week in Boston. He was scheduled to do a show. It's on Ticketmaster. It's on all the ticket sites that Chappelle was scheduled to do a show there. And what the Wall Street Journal is reporting is that while he was on stage, Dave Chappelle condemned Hamas, but also blasted what he said was Israel's war crimes in Gaza. And audience members started to get upset. They started shouting out, shut up, to him. Chappelle continued saying that people shouldn't lose their jobs for supporting Palestinians. He reportedly responded by criticizing the Israeli government's decision to cut off food, water, and electricity, and then also accused Israel of killing innocent civilians. He is very, very well known for talking about things which are not necessarily popular. But here's the weird part to me. So they go to Chappelle's people asking for a comment, and they are denying that he ever was in Boston at all in the night in question, even though people have been reporting what they say they saw. And even though it's on Ticketmaster, you know, all the places where you would buy tickets, says Dave Chappelle was performing there on Thursday night. So I guess he just stand there and go, that wasn't me. I wasn't even
in
town.
That's weird. Is he trying to be funny?
I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know.
Well, he never shies away from controversy, yep. That's for sure. This is interesting about Meryl Streep. And was this a big secret?
Yeah, last week we had Jada Pinkett Smith reveal that she and husband Will Smith have been living separately for 7 years. So over the weekend, Meryl Streep made the announcement that she and her husband of 45 years, Don Gummer, have been living separately for more than 6 years now. They have four children. They have five grandchildren. Streep, in a statement through a spokesperson, said that they will always care for each other, but they have chosen to live their lives apart. So it was a big secret. Often we would see them together at the Academy Awards. I guess the last time they were at the Academy Awards together was in 2018. Somebody went back and checked. But they were a constant presence for all of Meryl Streep's 21 nominations and her three wins for that. But secret lives of celebrities, I guess.
Yeah, guess. The Rolling Stones have been everywhere lately promoting their new album, and they did a big show, actually not a big show, a small show, a private show in New York, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, at which Lady Gaga appeared. She's on the album. Paul McCartney is performing on the album as well, and Ringo Starr. Performing on their new album, which just came out Friday, by the way. The album is called Hackney Diamonds. It's available now wherever you crazy kids buy music these days. And you would think that the Rolling Stones wouldn't have to do publicity appearances like everybody else does, because they are the Rolling Stones. But Mick Jagger did a surprise appearance on Saturday Night Live. This was a little of what that sounded like.
Still rolling!
Descarado! Te mataré!
No! Yo te mataré!
Papa!
Ah! Yo soy tu papa, no recuerdes?
Oh, damn! Tu papa is hot!
So it was a spoof of those telenovelas that are on. Mm-hmm. Mick Jagger played the angry father of two brothers. You heard him there speaking in Spanish. He later appeared as a nun in a convent sketch later on. And Lady Gaga also did, she made a quick appearance on Saturday Night Live also. I think the one of the more interesting appearances, though, by a Rolling Stone was Keith Richards. I think this was Friday night on Jimmy Fallon. He came on to promote the new album, and they were talking about the McCartney and Ringo on a Rolling Stones album. This is Jimmy Fallon talking with Keith Richards, and was corrected by Keith Richards on that.
A Beatle and the Rolling Stones played on one song together for the first time.
No.
What? What do you, what?
John Lennon and Paul, first off, they gave us one of our first big hits, I Want to Be Your Man. They were the ones that collared us and said, hey, we've got this song here, you know.
That's right.
And so our relationship with John and Paul and with the Beatles was, it went back, it goes back to the 62, 63, you know, and...
What was the relationship? Did you hate each other? Did you...
No, we'd play up to that. I think, you know, there was like a Beatles versus Stones thing, and then... Oh, yeah, yeah, but not really.
No.
Meanwhile, we're working together saying, as your single ready.
Yeah, and, yeah.
And I'm going,
I'll put ours out.
We have a couple of weeks to go, and okay, you go first. So we tried not to clash with our stuff. They gave us songs. Also, Paul and John are on a track called We Love You in the middle 60s, and another track, Dandelion, that John and Paul came by to sing, you know, because they like the Stones too, you know.
Yeah, sweet.
I never knew all those things about the Stones and the Beatles. I always thought they were rivals. They were not. They were secretly working together to make sure that their things didn't clash, their music didn't clash. Never knew that John and Paul gave the Stones a song. I never knew that they were on so many Rolling Stones songs. It's a really fascinating interview that Jimmy Fallon did.
Yeah, on Hackney Diamonds, apparently McCartney just happened to be in the studio when they were recording, and Keith said, you're not leaving until you're playing, and he ended up playing on one of those songs.
Yeah, just happened to be there.
It's been a friendly rivalry. Oh, well, that's what they claim, anyway.
Happened to be where the Rolling Stones are playing.
We'll get to Weekend Box Office, a movie review from Dean, and more coming up. Dean, tell us what Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly were doing over the weekend.
Well, they surprised their friend with a big birthday cake. It was Snoop Dogg's birthday over the weekend. He turned 52 years old. And his friends, John C. Reilly from the Marquette Park area of Chicago, Will Ferrell, went on stage. This was at the Greek Theater in Los Angeles. They snuck on stage. They had this big, giant, very huge, elaborate cake. They brought it on stage, and the crowd sings Happy Birthday. What does Snoop Dogg do? Not blow out the candles, not yet, not before lighting whatever it was that he was smoking first from one of the candles on the birthday cake.
Of course.
It's a new birthday tradition, apparently.
Apparently. Taylor Swift, still number one at the box office?
Yep. Not a surprise, even though they had very formidable competition this week with the Leonardo DiCaprio Robert De Niro film. Wasn't enough to overcome the power of Swiftie. Taylor Swift's Eras Tour movie, now in its second week out, has taken in another $30 million. Brings its two-week total now up to $130 million, and now has become the first concert film ever to cross the $100 million mark. By the way, I don't usually pre-promote what I'm going to be doing on my cooking segment on Wednesday, but it kind of fits here. I'm going to be baking Taylor Swift's favorite cookie, Bob.
I see.
So if you're a Swiftie out there, you want to see what Taylor likes, you want Taylor's recipe, This is Uncle Dean climbing on the bandwagon big time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be doing that Wednesday about 9:30 in the morning.
We all want to be like Taylor.
Yeah, exactly right. So that leads me to the number two movie of the weekend, which was The Killers of the Flower Moon. That took in $23 million, followed by The Exorcist, Believer, Paw Patrol, and The Nightmare Before Christmas. Because I was out on Friday, I never did get a chance to actually review Killers of the Flower Moon, so I wanted to just share a couple of thoughts on this. I think it's, in many ways, in fact, in all ways except one, it is an absolutely spectacular movie. If you like Robert De Niro movies in particular, this is very, very much follows the Martin Scorsese pattern of telling stories about criminals doing very bad things. It's just that in this movie, it's a different time and it's a different culture. The true story of what happened to the Native American Osage Nation at the turn of the century, when this Indian nation was given a patch of land in Oklahoma because it was thought to be worthless. Turns out it was oil rich, and the Osage became among the wealthiest people in the territory as a result of that. So, you know, in come other people wanting to exploit the Osage. White men started marrying Osage women so they could live the life of luxury, but also started murdering their wives so they would inherit the wealth. It's a very famous period of history called the Reign of Terror, so much so that J. Edgar Hoover's Bureau of Investigation, as it was called at the time, actually launched an investigation to find out where all this killing was going on, who was behind it all. In this movie, Leonardo DiCaprio is one of the bad guys who's working for his uncle, played amazingly by Robert De Niro, the very diabolical fat cat who is known as the King of the Osage Hills. He's got his eye on all of this oil money. So you've got these two Oscar winners doing what they do best. And then this stoic Osage woman who is being manipulated for her family's fortune, played by Lily Gladstone. Remember that name, because it is definitely one that we're going to be talking about at Oscar time. She is so good in her moving, thoughtful performance. As I said, this is a beautiful movie. Each section of this movie unveiled with elegance and grit. And as I said, all except one thing, the length of this movie, I think, is really going to hurt it. The movie is nearly 3.5 hours long. That is painfully long, longer than it needed to be to tell the story, in my opinion, instead of making it easy for people to just sit back and enjoy this movie. Scorsese makes it very challenging to enjoy the movie. That, you know, that said, it is a beautiful Western. It's got meticulous attention to detail. There's just way too much attention to detail in this movie. So I knocked it down. I probably would have given it an A or A plus, because that's how beautiful and powerful the story is. But it is a really, really long movie to sit through. I knocked it down to a B plus.
Well, if it's good, it won't be too long.
Yeah, just plan your... Plan when you're going to go. Plan what you're going to drink.
Yeah.
Plan is all I can say.
Plan when you go. Yeah. Exactly. Thank you, Dean.